Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Top Canadian cabinet officials are in South Florida to meet with officials from the Trump transition. Canada's one country the president-elect has targeted in social media posts less than a month before he takes office.
In a flurry of social media posts on Christmas Day, Trump suggesting that the U.S. could take control of Canada, parts of Panama and Greenland, leading to swift pushback from key allies. The president of Panama, Jose Raul Mulino, calling President-elect Donald Trump's claims that Chinese soldiers are running the Panama Canal nonsense.
It's ABC's Mary Alice Parks. The head of Russia's Civil Aviation Authority says there was a Ukrainian drone attack ongoing as an Azerbaijani airliner tried to land Christmas Day. That plane crashed in Kazakhstan, and aviation experts say it was hit by Russian anti-aircraft fire. It's one of the busiest travel periods of the year in the U.S., and for the second time in about a month, a stowaway found aboard a Delta flight the unticketed passenger arrested in Seattle. This is ABC News.
Now this news update from Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Sean Maloney. Another bird flu outbreak in Wisconsin. The State Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection said yesterday that birds at a commercial poultry farm in Burnett County were destroyed to prevent spread of the H5N1 virus and that it will not enter the food system. Earlier this month, Wisconsin's first human H5N1 case was confirmed in a worker at a Barron County farm where an infected flock was also destroyed. Prison time for a Price County man who admitted to killing a woman.
Christopher Dyer pled guilty to one count of homicide on Thursday after investigators tied him to the shooting death of Denise Schwarz on April 13th. A judge then sentenced him to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 30 years, at which time he would be 80. Dyer previously pled not guilty to the count but managed to strike a deal with the state last month to avoid trial. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
And the city of Madison's clerk's office has almost 200 ballots for the November 5th general election were not properly processed. The clerk's office said that number was not enough to affect the outcome of any race or referendum. Wisconsin Radio Network.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Foggy and drizzly with scattered rain possible this afternoon. Our high today right around 42. Tonight, more rain. We could get between a quarter and a half inch of rain tonight. Tomorrow, more clouds and a little bit of light rain in the morning with a high near 44. You can save money with lower cost health insurance and better coverage. Call 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
99.7.
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM. Here are the B-52s.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack, yeah, yeah. I'm heading down the Atlanta Highway, looking for the love getaway. Headed for the love getaway.
I got me a car, it's as big as the weather.
90s, and more.
Max FM.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. 8:12 on Friday morning. AC/DC, you shook me all night long. Again, we're looking for answers on our informal poll, 608-355-9970. Shoot us a text. Is it shoplifting to drink a beverage before paying for it? And would you do it? And if you're a law enforcement official and want to weigh in on this, feel free to text us. We'd like to know the legal answer as well, Emily. We have some fun planned on Sunday.
I just love that you just, if you're in law enforcement, please go ahead. We want to have your opinion as well. That was great.
Well, I kind of want to know the legal answer, you know.
Well, yeah.
I know what I've researched here, but I'd like to know what the legal answer is. So I'm hoping maybe we have a law enforcement official that may happen to be listening to us this morning. Will text in and say yes or no to shoplifting, and we'll see. And again, I won't mention names. You can text in anonymously if you are that law enforcement official, or if you want to private message me, I'm very curious.
Yes, definitely. And I'm just going to totally play like the bad part of the duo and say, if you're a law enforcement individual and you have done this, you definitely need to text us and tell us. That. Inquiring minds want to know What kind of gray area are you living in out there? No, just kidding. But yeah, Sunday, switching gears, we are having a planned watch party for the Green and Gold at Mike's Italian Restaurant in Baraboo. Can't wait. We're going to watch our team win. We're going to have some food. There's some drink specials and food specials that Mike's offering. So please come and join us. Watch the Green and Gold take the game away on Sunday the 29th at Mike's Italian. Now, what time is that, Dave?
That is 2:30 p.m. Food and drink specials. You'll be there. Wendy will be there. And of course, I will be there. And we're going to be raffling off a Green and Gold fleece blanket, authentically licensed, and a Green and Gold jersey of a certain quarterback that everyone is going to love for a chance to win.
Cool. Yeah, I would say if you're out there and you've heard anything about this, just roll in just for like, you know, a little bit, just to get your raffle ticket and have a chance to win that jersey or that blanket, because that's fun. And then you'll probably get caught up in the good times and sit down with us and hang out and watch the game. So yeah. I would definitely suggest coming. We'd love to see you guys. We'd love to see people in person, be able to hang out. So please do so. We would love to have that.
We definitely would. And please attend. Some great food specials. And it's a great opportunity to have a little bit of fun. And again, great food. All right, we're going to go with our answers, Emily. So I won't draw this out too long because we do have to come back and do calendar days. And then we have Hava waiting in the wings as well this morning. So, all right, informal answers. One person says it's not shoplifting, and they've done it with the Little Milks at Woodman's, would not do it at other stores. Another person says it is not shoplifting if you pay for it, and they would not do it. Another said they would not do it, and it is not shoplifting. One person texted and said, I've grabbed a bottle of water once. I had a little bad tickle making me cough. Didn't drink all of it. Explained to the cashier that I had to open it, and I've seen people eating things. I hope in either case they do the right thing and pay for it before leaving the store. And so those were some of the informal answers in our text poll this morning. And one person texted in and they said, it is not shoplifting if there's not an intent to steal. So that is the informal poll of Dave and Emily this morning. Is it okay to consume a beverage before paying for it? So people want to know where I stand on it. I don't consider it to be shoplifting as long as you pay for it. But I consider it to be a little bit on the icky side, because then that person that is checking your stuff out then has to scan it, you know, that type of thing. So, but I don't think it's shoplifting. I wouldn't personally do it. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. And so what's your final thought on that, Emily?
I think it's a little bit sketchy. Yes. But like I told my story before, you know, like one time, you know, I'll just put it out there on a personal level. One time I had a baby and a toddler, you know, my kids were little, mm-hmm. We were shopping and they were kind of losing their patience. We'll just put it that way. And I was buying a whole bag of really delicious, sticky, juicy plums. And so each one of them got a plum to eat while we were shopping, because I was able to get through the shopping trip that way. And yes, I did pay for them. So I feel like there's times and places, like the person who also texted and talked about, you know, having a little itch in their throat and needing to soothe with a little bit of water. So I do not think it's shoplifting. I don't make a practice of this. I have done it a few times with very small items, like a little bit of, you know, piece of fruit or something like that, a little grape or whatever from the salad bar or whatever is out, kind of able to be built into something. And then the one time with the plums with my kids. But I got to say, everybody in the store would have been happy for me to do that, because nobody wants to be grocery shopping and have baby and toddler screaming all at the same time, because that just makes everyone's situation. So you got to do what you got to do sometimes. But I like the person who texted in and said that they only would do this at Woodman's. I'm not sure why they would only do
well, maybe they know the people at Woodman's well enough.
I don't know.
You know,
it takes so long to get through Woodman's, and it's just so intense that maybe you just gotta. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, and so I did a little bit of research online, and some of the answers I saw is, in most places, it's generally considered inappropriate to eat or drink items before paying for them. Most stores expect customers to pay for the items before consumption. And so that was a generalized answer that I found doing my research this morning. And then I went and looked at a website, findlaw.com. And basically the gray area of that is it is not necessarily considered shoplifting. It may seem like opening bags and stacking while your shop may be shoplifting. But in general, shoplifting requires two elements. One is taking possession of an item being offered for sale. And two, the intent to permanently deprive the item's rightful owner of the grocery store or whatever store in this case without paying for it. So that was according to findlaw.com. And the other part of that that I did find was part of my research, the place where it would be considered shoplifting in this case is if it's an item that is going to be weighed, then that would be a possible concern, because if it's sold by the unit, it's not an issue. So definitely a little bit of gray area. It is all dependent on store policy. So if the store says you can't do it, then you can't do it. So there's our official answer today, Emily.
Yeah. That was, you know, that was kind of a good all over answer, you know, from the populace out there, whether it not be in our community or just the larger Google search you did. I think people do feel like it's a little bit of a gray area, but also people do feel like it is, you know, case by case, a little bit depending on which store you're in. Not a good thing to do. Definitely don't make a practice of it. You may not get hauled out in cuffs, but you might get some funny looks and definitely some raised eyebrows your way. So let's just try to follow the rules, Dave, right?
Exactly. All right. So you'll be back with me shortly for calendar days.
Sounds good.
All right. More Music Mornings with Dave and Emily on Max FM.
Community First Bank is your bank for business. Our business bankers have the financial know-how to get you on the path to a bright future. From business checking to loans, online banking to treasury services, CFB's business banking solutions create more convenience, save more money, and protect you from fraud. Get more from your business banking relationship. See a business banker at Community First Bank.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank. Kick off your year with the Mirror Lake State Park First Day Hike. 2025 marks the 125th anniversary of the Wisconsin State Park System, and you can join them to kick off this year-long celebration at Mirror Lake State Park. A brief program to honor the 125th anniversary will start the event at 11 a.m., followed by a guided 1.5-mile First Day Hike. Refreshments will be available, and there will be a fire going to keep you warm. Again, this event gets started at 11 a.m. at Mirror Lake State Park at the Boat Launch parking lot. This is a free event, but a state park sticker is required. And with the holidays, many local businesses will have special events and operating hours. Be sure to check their social media pages and websites for details. And as always, swing by the local Chamber of Commerce sites as well.
Did you know cases of preventable diseases, including measles and whooping cough, are spreading in Wisconsin? Cases of whooping cough are 5 times higher than last year. Get vaccinated to protect yourself, your family, and your community. Vaccines are safe. Vaccines are effective. And vaccines are essential. Talk to an SSM health provider or pharmacist today and make sure your family is up to date. Visit SSMHealth.com to learn more.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Baraboo, The Dells, and Reedsburg.
Water Street Social Club, one of the area's newest eatery, features craveable appetizers, mouth-watering pasta, pizzas, salads, smash burgers, and so much more. Try their Bavarian pretzel, some delicious roasted Brussels sprouts with bourbon bacon jam, or delicious dumplings served with an amazing sauce. Join them on New Year's Eve for a scrumptious prime rib dinner and live music by the Mannish Boys Blues Band at 9 p.m. Champagne toast at midnight. Dive into Water Street Social Club at 550 Water Street in Prairie du Sac today.
Max FM, Gem City weather.
Foggy and drizzly with scattered rain possible this afternoon. Our high today right around 42. Tonight, more rain. We could get between a quarter and a half inch of rain tonight. Tomorrow, more clouds and a little bit of light rain in the morning with a high near 44. You can save money with lower cost health insurance and better coverage. Call 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
99.7
Maximum hits 99.7 Max FM. Dave and Emily with you. You just heard it, Emily. 40 degrees outside.
I know. That's so great. Gosh, I don't know about this weather changes here in the last 10 years, because I sure don't remember a winter that ever had a 40 degree day in December, almost January. But I'll take it. How about you? Take it. Go in the shorts. Just forget it. Just do the thing.
I'm thinking about it. Definitely thinking about it. And it is calendar days. And as I look at our calendar days, I've got the perfect one for today. Again, December 27th, visit the zoo day. And we have a little zoo right here in Bearview, the Ushner Park and Zoo. Go visit the zoo today. It's perfect weather to get out there this morning and go see the animals.
I love that. And it's, you know, you could. It's not that cold. Again, good day to do that. Maybe a lot of people have off work Friday. Go to the zoo. Also, if you are inside and you don't feel like trekking outside, National Make Cutout Snowflakes Day. We are ready with our art supplies for National Make Cutout Snowflakes Day. And I have to say, this is one of those, you know, those little busy works they would give kids when they were little. And I still really enjoy it. My kids are actually, you know, they're adolescent teenage and they were making these over Christmas. It was real sweet. So it's a beautiful way to do art. And all you need is a piece of paper and a scissors and your imagination.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're going to get. So that's a good one. Do it as an adult. I encourage you. You still will enjoy it. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, and I'm not real good at it, so it's one of those that it's. I'm not even going to try. But I'll leave that to the professionals or the experts, to say the least. And you know, there's some other ones on here that are just a little bit more interesting as well. It's a Case Day, so Case is a modern, straightforward given name that is a very interesting origin. So it's Case Day today. I also saw that it was Abigail Day. So it's got biblical roots and a cute, accessible nickname. Abigail's popularity is not that strange at all. So Abigail and Case Day today. And did you see any other exciting ones on there, Emily?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about this, but now I want to learn. St. John's Day, St. John History Day, remembers the life of the great St. John the Evangelist. So what I like about the way we get this information delivered is you can just go ahead and click further for more information. And I've learned quite a bit of stuff about things that I didn't even know existed, much less knew the details about. So also International Day of Epidemic Preparedness. Obviously, we've all lived through an epidemic. We've lived through a pandemic. We understand what it's like to be able to be prepared and what is necessary to be able to get through something like that. First responders, people that are, you know, on the front lines of something like that, I hands down, we appreciate you and everything you do. So thank you to all of those out there on this day, December 27th. And yeah, there's lots to learn, but there's a big one at the top. I mean, I don't know. We might have to take a poll about how people feel about this certain food item. What do you think?
Yeah, we might have to take a poll on Monday about this, or remind me about that. Today is National Fruitcake Day, and I'm not talking about any of my coworkers either. It's the actual fruitcake.
I was just going to say that. It's not National Dave Grant Fruitcake Day. I'm sorry. No, it's just National Fruitcake Day. I don't know. You know, I've only had fruitcake a few times, and I'm a huge fan of fruit and cake, so I don't know why it wasn't something I actually...
We got to do a poll on Monday, so let's not spoil that one. Let's wait.
Okay, all right.
Let's do that.
I'm just going to leave that dangling out there. Yeah, man.
Yes, we'll leave that dangling out there. So, Emily, you'll be back with me on Sunday over at Mike's Italian Restaurant, 2:30 for the Green and Gold Watch Party.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for that. You guys, come and join us December 29th, 2:30 at Mike's Italian Restaurant. Come watch our team win. Just going to say that. We're just going to
exactly.
Leave it there. Just manifest destiny, right?
Right, exactly. So we're going to win. See us on Sunday. We'll be back with you then. Thanks so much, Emily. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Sounds great, Dave. See you soon.
We'll see you on Sunday. All right, so we are going to get Genesis going here. And after Genesis, we have Hobble hanging in the wings with Maddie Jones. They're going to talk about the upcoming Packer game that's this Sunday. Here's Genesis Invisible Touch on Max FM.
Here on Max FM. Good morning. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to be with us in just minutes. We are going to talk about the big border battle, as everybody likes to call it, the Vikings and the Packers, Sunday afternoon, 3:25. Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM is next. It's brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Oakwood Fruit Farm wants to thank everyone for another incredible season. As the farm closes its doors for the year, they'd like to express their gratitude for your support and remind you how much they value being a part of your traditions. From everyone at Oakwood Fruit Farm, happy holidays. They look forward to welcoming you back next fall for more fresh fruit, family fun, and wonderful memories. Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every season brings something special. See you next year.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance. Chris, good morning. How are you on this Friday?
Good morning, Maddie. I am excellent. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. Just a couple of days removed from what really was a wonderful Christmas. So I was very, very just grateful for the time that I had on Tuesday with my father, his birthday, and then the following day on Christmas, celebrating Christmas with him. And I have to just tell you a quick story, Maddie. I've seen a Christmas story for a thousand
sure.
times. Who hasn't?
Classic.
And my father and I were watching it together. And for the very first time, I heard in the scene where Ralphie beat up the bully, comes home, thinks he's going to catch heck from his dad, and Darren McGavin is at the table reading the newspaper, and his wife tries to divert attention from the fight and protect Ralphie by saying, "Oh, I see the Packers are playing the Chicago Bears this weekend." and he says... It's great because then he comes back with it. I had never heard this. He says, yeah, the terrors of the Midway. More like the Chicago Chipmunks.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears, never. And I had never heard that line. It made me think of all my friends who are Bears fans. The Chicago Chipmunks. I had never
Bears
heard
fans.
That.
Poor Bears fans. It has been a year. It was funny, last night watching the start of that Seahawks-Bears game, as I was listening to the commentators, Al Michaels had to remind me, and I'm sorry, Bears fans, I don't want to rub too much in, winning their last game in October. That wow, that's they went started 4-2 for the season, but yeah, it's been quite the season for the Chicago Bears. A lot of changes over there. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers though, because that's a much more exciting conversation. Again, sorry Bears fans. 13 playoff appearances in 16 years for the Green Bay Packers, the best mark in the NFL, and we get to be here to celebrate every moment of it. Now, since week 11, the Green Bay Packers have scored the second most points in the NFL. They have allowed the second fewest points in the NFL and have an NFL best of plus 90 point differential over the last 6 weeks. I don't know about you, Chris, but that seems like a team that is on the rise and maybe ready to tackle the playoffs, but got to get through the Vikings first, of course, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, everything you just said there, it's crazy because a year removed from the big strong finish last season into the playoffs and mm-hmm. all that happened after that, now the Packers are third best offense in the NFL. Yeah. Really, really, look, they've given up fewer points than Detroit. They've scored yep. more points than Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And they're part of that 37-8 NFC North. And yet I think people all understand there's more to be gotten. Yeah. There's more out there. There's more on the plate. And I think the team knows that. The coach mm-hmm. certainly does. And you and I talk about it. So it's an important game Sunday afternoon for a variety of reasons. I think some that are overlapping for the Vikings and the Packers and others sure. that are very, very drastically different. But the Packers are in a wonderful position right now. And yeah. all of those wonderful things they've done, including not giving up hardly any sacks for forever.
Yeah.
We just kind of come to expect it, but I guess that's yeah. okay.
We're spoiled. We're spoiled that way as Packers fans. It's, it sure beats the heck talking about the Bears, right? What's been going on there. So I'll take what we can, what the football gods like to dish out. Now, let's start on the defensive side of the ball, because my kid was home over the holidays, and he and I had an interesting discussion about the Green Bay Packers defense, because that's what any good mother and son does after, you know, all the cookies have been eaten and the food is still sitting out in a smorgasbord style. We had this interesting conversation because we went back to Jeff Hafley's very first press conference, because we were lamenting, I was lamenting, on the fact that the Packers pass rush is just kind of coming on strong. Can we really count on it? It's been two of the weaker offensive lines between the Seahawks and the Saints. Max put his phone down, which, by the way, if he puts his phone down, you know we're about to have a serious conversation. He looked at me and he goes, stop. He goes, you have to be kidding me. And I said, what's the deal, dude? And he goes, first of all, Jeff Hafley promised that his defense was going to be a work in progress. And he's like, he said that from his very first press conference. He's still saying that he's layering pieces in. I said, I'll give you that. And he goes, and I said, well, what about Rashawn Gary? I said, this is the guy who, you know, the Packers went out and signed, they brought in, and you know, Max is a huge Rashawn Gary fan. He goes, oh. So now he picks up his phone, Chris, and now we're watching mm-hmm. highlights on the 80-inch TV in our living room. And he goes, here's what Jeff Hafley did that nobody's understanding. He goes, now I'm not making excuses for the lack of pass rush, although Max said it's been better. He goes, watch Rashawn Gary early on in the season. So now we're watching highlights. I didn't realize until Max was pointing it out how much Rashawn Gary was used as an edge sealer early on in the year. Now, I'm not going to, again, parse over some of the numbers because, yeah, the pass rush was lacking. But the fact that the run game was for the defense was so much better under Hafley, even from the start. And like Max said, it made perfect sense. You got a big physical guy on the edge who can who's fast, who can attack whenever he sees the ball. He's like, why not send him after the bigger backs until the rest of your defense kind of catches up? And as soon as you started seeing guys like Brenton Cox, who we'll talk about here in a few moments, mm-hmm. kind of come on strong, and you saw the emergence of a guy like Edgerrin Cooper, then you saw Rashawn Gary get a little bit more aggressive in the pass rush again, because it was almost like Hafley felt like, all right, now we got other guys who can take care of the run, seal some deals. And he's like, and Max goes, it actually makes perfect sense what he was doing. Then we, you know, you also got Lucas Van Ness. Can't forget to add him in there because we'll give him a few props as well. And then Max goes, and look at what he did to the Saints. He goes, if you're the Saints offensive coordinator, he goes, you are so upset right now. And I said, why? And he goes, because Halfley basically dictated to him what the game was going to be by creating gaps for Edger and Cooper to shoot through. Max is like, it's actually genius stuff. He's like, he is like the Matt LaFleur of the defensive side of the ball, which is what Matt LaFleur has always needed. Now, I don't want to parse, and I'll get your opinion, but what do you think of Max's comments about how Gary was used early on, the lack of pass rush, and what Halfley has been able to do the last 2 weeks? I mean, I know it's a broad subject, but in a generalized conversation, what do you think?
I'd be happy to tackle it. Preston Smith's departure said a lot about Jeff Halfley's desire to be patient and to ask and call upon certain players like Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith to set an edge against the run game and get some things established before we go on to B, C, D, and beyond. Sure. And I think Preston Smith late in his career wasn't working for him.
Yeah.
And probably a little befuddled by it, felt miscast. They get rid of him. And ever since then, those players you're talking about, Brenton Cox Jr., Aaron Mosby, Lucas Van Ness, the snaps have risen. Their production has risen.
By the way, Preston Smith was a healthy scratch on Christmas Day for the Steelers. He did not play against the Chiefs. So just to kind of reiterate what you were saying. Yes, go ahead.
It was correct. It was the right decision and still is. And now, but for the right reasons, because it made your team better. It opened a path to get guys who you believed. And again, this goes back to talent scouting and then developing, draft develop, and then be ready. The Packers had validated. They were right about the guys that weren't getting snaps would make them better than Preston Smith once they did. And that reverberates around the whole organization because it just validates everything you're doing. Last week, what, 7 sacks from 5 or 6 different players? The rookies, you keyed in on Tyron Hopper, and I give you credit whether it was Max or you or whoever, because he's a pretty good baller. But you think about their defense and where they're at now going into the Minnesota game. Okay, second time around for Kevin O'Connell v. Jeff Halfley. I think Halfley will have learned more than O'Connell did from it because Halfley's got a heck of a long way to go to get to where O'Connell is. So I think there's that. But Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, Teron Hopper, what rookie am I missing? All playing key roles in the defense.
Yeah.
And so when those guys are injured and you have to replace them, and we can talk about the injuries in a little bit, but it's rookies that you're replacing. And to Max's point about layering this thing, getting the pass rush and the pass coverage synced up, the frustration with Jair Alexander is that that's a big, big holdup in this whole process.
Yes.
And whoever's fault it is and wherever the frustration stems from, okay, so be it. But the bottom line, I mean, they have got rookies that are contributing. They have 7 players with 3 or more sacks. 7 players with 3 or more sacks. And Sam Darnold's been sacked 45 times in 15 starts. We can all do that math. So I really like the defense's progression and the way it's setting up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk about that pass rush just a little bit, and then we'll kind of talk about Sam Darnold as well. Because
I was just going to Max's point
ahead
on one other postscript on Rashawn Gary, and you know this to be true. Jeff Halfley very well knows if he rushes Rashawn Gary and gets single blocking, he's going to get home how many times?
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he had a conversation with Gary about, you know what's best for the team, though?
Yeah.
Is for us to be patient and to wait on some of these things and you know, keep you fresh in your snaps because those sacks, I know you can do that. And
right.
And we're going to set you up to do that, but we're going to do it week 1 of the playoffs or whatever. And I think there's something to be said. But more than that, Gary had to be patient so the teammates could come along.
Right.
What we perceived as rookies outplaying veterans, I think, on this defense and grasping it quicker was veterans having to suck it up and play a little bit less, let's say, with flourish and things that their veteran abilities and skills and knowledge would allow them to do to let the rookies catch up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might have had it backwards.
It was a fascinating conversation I was having with Max, especially when he was queuing up actual video and being able to slow things down and really see the fundamentals of what was happening in the game. You can't always do that when there's action on the field, right? And we went all the way back to the Eagles game, and it was actually Rashawn Gary who was basically the one who was, it was almost like a shadow situation if you really slow down the tape on Saquon Barkley. And so obviously when you're starting to see your defensive coordinator do things like that, because Rashawn Gary, bigger guy, physical, he's got the speed to keep up with the Saquon Barkley. You know, it makes total sense what he was trying to do.
Well, here's where it gets better, Maddie. To Max's point, you spy a quarterback who can run for sure. Yep. You spy a running back. Now, that's a little novel.
Yeah.
I had not really heard of it. I'm guessing it has been done, and Jeff Hafley didn't invent it. But for Max to see that and to point it out with Rashawn Gary, Edgerrin Cooper will become that guy.
Yeah.
And Rashawn Gary can go back to putting his paw on the ground and rushing like a demon to get to the QB.
You can tell when Edgerrin Cooper emerged, because that, as you watch back the highlights of all of these games, that's when Rashawn Gary goes back to doing what we know Rashawn Gary is best at, is rushing the passer. And again, back to Max's point, Hafley literally was playing offense with his defense against the Saints. He was creating the gaps. He was basically telling the Saints who they were going to block so he could create these huge gaps in the line so that Edgerrin Cooper could do what Edgerrin Cooper does. It's actually a whole lot of fun if you have the opportunity to slow it down and watch it. And I have to say, you got to think that Jeff Hafley is a little bit of a football psycho if you're watching it, because it is fascinating to see him dissect what that offense was able and not able to do of the New Orleans Saints. It's pretty fascinating stuff. Max and
I got to say, Maddie, with what you're describing there, and you and Max in that game, I am not sure, because you guys are special. There may be a mother-son combination in Detroit that had a similar breakdown of Aaron Glenn's game plan against the Packers.
Yeah.
Inviting, you know, said the spider to the fly, inviting the Packers offense to have to play one way really from the start, from the first snap.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but you know what? The problem is you've already got them at a disadvantage, in this case being the Packers, because they're counterpunching to something that you're bringing right out of the gate. And that's, I think, what Max is talking about with Hafley kind of playing with the Saints.
Yeah. Oh, it was fascinating. And while everybody else was doing their own thing, Corey was napping, Dexter was off, online with some friends, Max and I didn't really have much to do because he wasn't super interested in the football games that were on by that point. They were kind of out of hand. He placed some prop bets in the basketball. He'd already, gotten to those where he needed to be. So we had a whole lot of fun going through it. And just letting him take the time to really show me how it all broke down, it made a whole lot more sense when you can slow things down and watch it play by play and frame by frame. It was fascinating stuff. Now, with the Packers pass rush, for all of the hand wringing that so many of us have had for weeks on end, they're actually sixth in sacks among the league, and they're just one behind the Vikings right now. Now, this game, you mentioned Jair Alexander, not having him, that's been a huge missing piece for this defense. Coach said it yesterday, he's not going to be in this game once again. Now, I know a lot of people want to say there's something sinister going on with Jair Alexander. I just honestly think the PCL isn't healed and they thought it was going to heal a lot faster. I honestly think that's what's going on, because practicing is a lot different than being in a game time situation.
Well, for sure. You know, the thing with Jair Alexander's injury and the frustration, and I don't again know this where it stems from, but it's evident.
Sure.
And watch the news conference. When you just look at a big picture, when you put a player of Jair Alexander, well, any player, on the field and clear him, and he only goes 10 snaps and doesn't play since October till now, clearly the medical staff, everybody involved in that decision messed up. And perhaps in a big way, because what we can't know now, and what they may have had a good idea is, had he waited two more weeks, he'd be 1,000% now, and instead we're dealing with this.
I mean, and it could have been a situation where it didn't start as a tear, and then after being on it for 10 snaps, it became a tear.
That is correct. They definitely checked it before to clear him. So they had images of it.
Yep.
Then they have the second, and those things head coaches hate, because the first thing they think, Maddie, is what else are they missing? Can I trust this coming Sunday when they say X, Y, and Z on Christian Watson?
It's
really frustrating. And when he says, I'm not a doctor, that is a kind of a backhanded slap at the doctors.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Now, I don't think it's pretty thinly veiled, in my opinion, where, I'm not a doctor. I go by what they tell me, basically, when stuff like Alexander happens. Yeah, I'm just as honked off as Packer fans.
Yeah, you know, and with the Packers, and I think, too, if you're a Packers fan, this is a very conservative medical staff. These types of things don't normally happen with the Green Bay Packers
That's a good point.
Staff. Yes. So it becomes even more perplexing and even more frustrating for Packers fans when it does happen, which, again, very, very rare. No Evan Williams. It doesn't sound like, according to Coach, after the New Orleans Saints game, we're going to see Evan Williams anytime soon. That fluke injury that he sustained to the quadricep in practice last week, going to keep him sidelined for a little bit.
Now, the That's good a news, brutal injury. Looks like he's not going to play the rest of the regular season.
Yeah.
So wild card weekend at the earliest, but anyway.
So hopefully he's healing and they're making better practice, better decisions.
I'm just befuddled with the practice injuries, Maddie, but
I
guess it can happen.
It can, because these are physical guys, you know, and they're practicing physically.
Dang.
And we know that LaFleur even upped the physicality this year a little bit to keep them ready for game day situations. Now, the good news is, in the backfield, Javon Bullard has been a full participant in practice, or limited at least. So
limited,
that's good
but,
news.
Back, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yep. So hopefully we can see Javon Bullard. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. But Eric Stokes.
I was going to just say the good news. You see Javon Bullard back in the slot. The even better news is see Keyshawn Nixon on the perimeter.
Yes.
Especially with no Alexander.
Yes, exactly. And Eric Stokes, I got to toot his horn for just a moment on the defense, because it's been brutal at times watching him on the field this year. He's actually only allowed 3 completions and 14 passing yards on 8 targets into his coverage over the last 2 games. Now, again, we're talking the Seattle Seahawks and the New Orleans Saints, so you take that with a grain of salt, but I think that's a confidence builder for a guy that's maybe still trying to build his confidence after not such a great year and after those brutal injuries he sustained, because he just hasn't played with the same type of swagger since he came back from those injuries that he had his rookie year. And I think we've talked a little bit about the headspace that, you know, some of those injuries create, and you got to wonder if maybe some of those stats help him out just a little bit down the road and into a playoff push, because they might need him, right? We don't know what's going to happen with Jair at this point, so they might need Stokes.
Mm-hmm. They've been very mindful of getting him snaps along with Carrington Valentine, and the reason is what you just said. One DB goes down, how are you going to play with four corners when you don't have that many healthy? So I think with Stokes, the part that's kind of a little befuddling with him is he presumably, now they say, is as strong and as fast as he ever was, and he's okay that way.
No,
but the production doesn't match what had happened when he first came out. So to the headspace point, I think you're probably right on there, where there's something going on, and maybe now he got caught too in between schemes,
between
the Barry foolishness and now the new guy and trying to get on board this. But I don't know what Stokes' future holds, but that's a premier position they're going to have to address in the draft.
Yeah,
but they need him. You just can't give up on guys. We've talked about that too, and they coach up guys. We see practice squad elevations all the time, and they come in and help you. It's true, I think, in this case too with Stokes. You got to hang with him as best you can.
Absolutely. And then we talked a little bit as we finish up the discussion on defense, and then we'll pivot to offense. You mentioned Sam Darnold and his sacks. He's actually 23rd in pressure-to-sack ratio and 23rd in turnover-worthy play percentage. Now, the Packers are going to have to finish pressure and take advantage when they get a turnover opportunity on Sunday. That's just going to be – they didn't do that the first go-around, right? The pass rush was still kind of a work in progress under Halfley in this new defense. The Vikings are also 26th, according to PFF, in pass-blocking efficiency. Now, Brian O'Neill – excellent right tackle. I think you'd probably agree with that.
I think he's one of the best, generally considered one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, the 4 other on the line, they're questionable. There's some question marks hanging over their heads. So
injuries have eroded that. Christian Darrisaw, and they still, was a big one to overcome, or try to.
Yeah, and this is going to have to be a game where, as we're talking about this pass rush and the Packers up front on the defensive line, this is going to have to be another one of those Halfley kind of get in his bag kind of moments, I think, because the front four, they're going to have to go out and win this, because this is a high-octane offense. They're as healthy can be. Packers are a little banged up, which we'll talk about in just a moment. A lot of guys that are limited this week, but I think you're going to have to really lean hard on your big guys up front to make this happen, and then to also let that pass rush get home and really try to dictate the 4 guys on the line who are not as good as maybe Brian O'Neill.
It'll be interesting to see how Halfley attacks, how much he attacks, or is he a little more passive coming out just to see how the game is unfolding. But Matt LaFleur,
with his food kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, Matt LaFleur made no bones about the fact that you do not want to get behind the Minnesota right. Vikings because of all of their offensive skill players and the weaponry and all of that. If they don't have to throw and they only throw when they want to, that makes it really doubly hard to generate a pass rush.
Sure.
And yeah. I think the Packers' pass rush is a big edge over the Vikings' line. I think that's one of the things that is an area, like you said, but they have to exploit. But it's not going to be easy if the Vikings have a double-digit lead or even a touchdown lead. Man, trying to guess when they might try to spring an Aaron Jones run versus hitting the home run with Justin Jefferson, it's a lot of ground, a lot of field to cover. The one thing the Vikings' offense does is make it defend the entire field, sideline to sideline and deep, every zone. But I think Halfley is going to be, like I said before, a little bit, Maddie, that, you know, Halfley will have learned more from the first butt kicking from O'Connell than the other way around, I think.
Yeah.
Now, and how much still, more, you know, that doesn't mean he's going to get round two of the same dose, but I don't see that.
And how many times can the Vikings, I mean, honestly, I know there's statistics out there, and I don't have them in front of me, but how many times can a team win in such close situations two seasons in a row and not at least get bested one of those times?
You know, one of the edges I think the Vikings have over most teams, now I don't want to compare receiving corps because that kind of seems pointless.
They're good,
but
though.
Their catch radius from Addison to Jefferson to Hawkinson, even Jones. Mm-hmm. But Hawkinson, those three, though, especially, their catch radius can really cover up a lot of faults of Sam Darnold when he's not very accurate. So to your point about pressure, even the having to move a little bit, just anything to make him uncomfortable enough, that catch radius becomes wider. And even as great as they are, those three, and I'll give them that, boy, oh boy, that can be all the difference. Just that half a tick, that half a heartbeat.
I mean, you throw in a guy like C.J. Ham, who can also catch. You throw in Aaron Jones, who can catch those screens.
And a really good
and
play caller and scheme.
Yeah. I mean, it gets to be a crazy scenario out there. And, again, they are as healthy as they have been, the Minnesota Vikings, at this point of the season. So keep that
in mind.
Hey,
I got to ask you this, and maybe you can ask Max this, but it seems like to me the job of a defensive coordinator in the NFL today, you can say thankless. On the other hand, I think – the really good coaches can work with a couple of stars, some really good mid-level guys, and then backups because they know how to coach them. I think being as correct as you can be and fundamentally sound and lining up whatever you're deploying correct almost 1,000% of the time, Maddie, in this day and age, that's a huge difference. And I think the importance of defensive coordinator coaching, play calling, is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
I think it's a harder job every day in this league, but I think if you have an edge in that regard, boy, that's something.
Yeah. And I think Max would argue there's some analytics involved, too, about what will win and what won't win, because that's usually what he follows on those types of things. Now, as we move over to the offensive side of the Green Bay Packers, they're a little banged up, right? I mean, when you look at the injury report, no Christian Watson. At least that wasn't a long-term injury. Knee bruise, his availability is going to be up in the air this week. Jenkins also dealing with a knee injury. A lot of people thought early this week it would have been a veteran's rest, but no, indeed, no. In fact, he does have a little something going on with his knee. Luke Musgrave, I should say, it was limited, but that would make sense coming off of IR. Tucker Kraft is also limited in practice right now, so, you know, not quite as healthy as the Vikings' offense. The thing that would worry me most about this game is no Christian Watson, right? Because he changes this Packers offense and he creates this gravitational pull. He is commanding at least two DBs to at least know where he's at, with one stuck to him like glue and another in the general vicinity, I should say. So no Christian Watson, I think, against this Brian Flores-led defense. I feel like that could be a little bit of a problem going into
Sunday.
You
know, it kills you two ways, because it kills you on the clear out because of his speed and the threat that he represents underneath stuff for Tucker Kraft, Jaden Reed, and those guys, to Dromio Dobbs for sure to eat. And it also probably nullifies, I would say, and I'm just guessing here, but three or four shots a game where you've got the coverage you like, you've got him where you want him, you've got the play called. If you get it blocked up, if you throw the pass on target, if he catches it, it's probably a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have that guy, okay, that's four pretty good shots, the way they're pass blocking in Love, of getting a touchdown in a game or a pass interference, if nothing else, that are gone. And in addition to that, it's tougher to operate underneath because that guy's not there. So LaFleur is going to have to be very creative, because it does not sound like, as of yesterday anyway, that that Christian Watson's going to play. And Matt LaFleur actually was word for word pretty close, and he was, you know, Christian Watson's a veteran, where enough of a veteran where on Sunday we'll ask him if he can go. If he says he can go, he will. If he says he can't, he won't.
Well, is that what they did with Jair? Because that didn't work out.
Well, I think it's maybe the opposite. That was kind of what I was getting at a little bit there, where maybe it's like, hell, I might as well let it up to the player, because the medical staff, they don't know, and I don't know. I'll ask the player, how do you feel? Then you better be straight with me, bud.
I mean,
if you come out after 10 snaps, keep going.
I don't want to dwell on the Jair thing, but Doc McKenzie is the guy that other guys in the league come to have these types of injuries looked at, right? And the Packers are lucky enough to have him in Green Bay. I mean, and he works with the team all the time. He looks at the injuries of other players from around the league, from the NBA, too. And then to have this type of error or whatever happened, it seems so weird, because these things don't happen in Green Bay. And I still think that's why we're having, as Packers fans and anybody who watches the team, a hard time wrapping their head around what's actually going on. I don't feel like it's a situation like last year where Jair was disgruntled. I really honestly feel like there was something that happened with this injury, and obviously we're never going to be privy to that information.
You know, the other aspect of this too, Maddie, not to be, okay, so you have Matt LaFleur's frustration. If, let's say, and again, I don't want to be wrong with the malpractice.
Sure.
I'm not alleging anything. I'm just saying.
Sure.
I don't know what the difference, but anyway, yeah, you know, with LaFleur's frustration with that, if that is the case, a misdiagnosis, imagine Jair Alexander's frustration.
He's got
to take all this
grief.
All this grief. He wants to be on the field. The reason he's not on the field is because of the medical staff's best advice telling him A-OK, and the coach looking at him sideways, kind of like, come on now, you know, we need you, whatever. I don't know if that went on, but the doctors, apparently. His trust level, if that's the case, has got to be shot.
Right. Right. No,
I'm not coming back until I'm 1,000% kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. But
agreed. And again, I will say it again, for anybody who's got qualms about what's going on, being in practice every day is a lot different than being in a game time scenario with the same injury. So I don't think it's anything where Jair's disgruntled with the team. I literally think this injury got away with them. On the offensive side, what do you think? I mean, this seems like the perfect storm for Josh Jacobs, though. Indoors.